The U.S. dollar has lost 85% of its value since the 70s, when the dollar decoupled from gold, and the government seems bent on continuing the tradition. Charlie Kirk here. From now until after the elections, the government can print as much money as they want. The last time they did that, inflation went up 9%. Gold is the only asset that has proven to withstand inflation. Invest in gold with Noble Gold Investments. You will get a 24-karat, 1/4 ounce gold standard coin for free. Just use promo code Kirk. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, the only gold company I trust. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a fun conversation with Dave Rubin, who is pro-DeSantis. And obviously, I've endorsed Donald Trump. He's a good friend of mine. I think it's a lively conversation that you will really enjoy. And then an unbelievably powerful conversation with a detransitioner. This will make your blood boil. What we are doing to our children is evil. It's reprehensible. We need to talk about it. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member of the Charlie Kirk Show at members.charliekirk.com. Hundreds of you are signing up. Join today. I want to thank you guys that are becoming members. You guys are standing strong with us, and you're doing an amazing thing. I want to thank Benjamin from North Carolina for becoming a member. Again, that's members.charliekirk.com. I want to thank Melanie for becoming a member. I want to thank Lauren for becoming a member. I want to thank Carl from Kentucky for becoming a member. I want to thank Annie from Kentucky. I want to thank Melody from Oregon. I want to thank Lori from California, and I want to thank Greg from Missouri. Members.charliekirk.com. It is affordable for people of all income levels, and you guys get something. You guys get exclusive content, interviews, and I'm telling you right now, it's only going to deepen in value, ways to talk to me directly, be part of the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Members.charliekirk.com. And by the way, if you support us at charliekirk.com/support, we're going to migrate you over in a very effective, seamless way. By the way, enjoy this little teaser of my conversation with Tucker Carlson, members.charliekirk.com. Listen.
I was watching the other day. I'm actually not a huge Martin Luther King fan or whatever, super flawed guy. But I was watching the audio of the last speech that he gave the night before he was killed. April 3rd, 1968, he was killed the next afternoon. And he gave this speech, and he had just been, like, cheating with a bunch of different women, okay?
Yeah, he had a tendency to
do that. Oh, my gosh! No, he was, like, sexually out of control. But he gave this speech in which he clearly predicted his own death. Like, there's no doubt, if you listen to this, that God is speaking through Martin Luther King. And again, I don't like Martin Luther King's program. I don't like his behavior. There's a lot of, you know, worshiping Martin Luther King is absurd to me. But I gotta say, if you listen to that speech, God is speaking through Martin Luther King. There's no other explanation for that. And you're like, well, that's kind of consistent with what we know. We're all flawed. The people in charge tend to be more flawed. But it doesn't mean that they're not capable of greatness. So let's just be honest about it. The second you have to feel the need to pretend that you're perfect, you become a liar, and you become paradoxically even less perfect, in my opinion.
Become a member. Members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. One of the things I don't like is how this primary is ruining some people's friendships. I'm not going to let that happen. People know where my loyalties personally lie. And I got to tell you, there's some really great people that are advocating in different camps. We need to keep those binds strong for just no other reasons than it's the right thing to do. Great American and one of the sharpest minds in the movement, Dave Rubin, joins us. Dave, welcome to the program. Dave, how's this primary treating you? I'm sure that it's it's been uplifting, fun. you know, and I'm sure you just want it to go on for another 2 years.
Well, first off, Charlie, I want to say that no matter what happens in this crazy circus that we are all endlessly sucked into and cannot get out of the orbit of, you and I were friends before all of this, and yes, we will be friends after this, even if temporarily we're on, I don't even want to say opposite sides. It seems that we're both, I would say, in different camps
we're,
in terms
but
of
we're
the
on
candidate.
Team America, Dave. We're just wearing different jerseys in the primary. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And that's also why, and I think you were kind of getting to this in that intro there, that's why it's been so disappointing to see the level of craziness, I would say, coming far more out of one side than another, which is defending itself for the most part, because I've really, really been trying it. And for the people, for your listeners and viewers that watch my show, I have really been trying to stay above the fray to the best of my ability. I am not perfect at it, just like you are not perfect at it. And often politics brings out the worst in all of us. But I think the best we can do right now is fight for the things we believe in and the people that you think can accomplish those things at a political and cultural level. That's what I'm doing. That's what you're doing. And that's what many other people are doing. And so, hopefully if you do it with a degree of honesty and integrity, I think you'll survive either way. And I think a lot of people are kind of putting that aside
which
is unfortunate.
And Dave, we've done a lot of fun stuff together and we're going to keep on doing it. I mean, we went to UC Berkeley together and you had your briefcase robbed from you in the early days of San Francisco.
Well, you didn't tell me I couldn't leave a bag in a car in
outside
San Francisco
of Morton's.
Before everyone knew.
That's right. It was in a security car outside Morton's near the Transamerica building and Dave lost everything. So Dave, I want to actually give our audience a fair opportunity here. And this is not a gotcha in any way. Just make the case for Governor DeSantis's policy agenda, how you think the campaign is going. Obviously, we've been, you know, voicing my personal opinions on President Trump's agenda, what he's doing. I want our audience to be able to hear all sides of it. You know, you're a very articulate, I could say, spokesperson for, not officially, but obviously advocate. Kind of make the case, especially to our conservative audience. And then secondly, how do you think his campaign is currently going?
Sure. Well, first off, just to be clear, I'm not a spokesperson. I am not paid for, you know, by the campaign or anything like that. I would not, even if they offered me money, I wouldn't. I'm doing what I think is right. I tell people what I think for a living, and my life, literally my life and the life of my family and my employees who are in this room and some who work remotely, but many of them who live in Florida and the two companies that I moved to Florida, is all enriched by the things that Ron DeSantis has done here in the great state of Florida. I left. I don't know that anyone in the entire country left California, fled California more publicly than I did about a year and a half ago to move to the free state of Florida. I would say, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, if you are a, I would say, right-leaning person, meaning you are, let's say, a disaffected liberal or you're a traditional religious conservative or you're a libertarian, something in that, or you're just, I said disaffected liberal, but you're just sort of an old school liberal who's a little confused about what time it is, say like an RFK type, you, in essence, should be loving every single thing that Ron DeSantis has done. I don't know one thing that Ron DeSantis has not done that we would have wanted him to do. Florida is safe. Its economy is absolutely booming. We fund the police here. We're getting ESG out of our institutions. We've done that, which that's actually perhaps the biggest issue that people don't talk about that often because it's kind of in the weeds on how corporations are putting wokeness on all of us. I know you talk about it, but the average person doesn't, and they certainly don't in corporate America. He has fought Disney. He has fought the endless racialization of our children by getting rid of this AP African American Studies course that was in essence going to teach gender theory. We've gotten some of these books that are sexualizing our children out of schools. He has done literally everything that anyone right-leaning could believe in or could possibly want to happen. I would say he's done one or two things that are a little bit more right-leaning than I would want.
Oh, they're perfect for me, Dave. I got to say, I love that stuff.
No, absolutely. So, for example, Charlie, I'll give you one that you agree with DeSantis yes. more than I do, which is the abortion one.
Yes.
For me, Florida had 15-week abortion ban, and I've been to every Republican event in the year and a half since I've been here, and I never heard anyone complaining about it. DeSantis often said that he personally was pro-life. And by the way, it's completely within his jurisdiction as the chief executive of the state, especially when you win by a freaking crazy 1.6 million vote landslide, 20%, to do what you think is right. And he has the supermajority in the state Senate to make that happen. So he switched it to six. Now, I think it's possible that will hurt him in the general election. I think in the primary, it probably a little bit works to his favor. But I know he did what he thought was right, and that's what he believes he should use his power to do as the governor. So I have a disagreement with him on that, but I think that's fine. But I would ask you, what is there anything that Ron DeSantis, you're at least a part-time.
No, he's America's greatest governor. I've said that. And by the way, I've said that repeatedly, and some people say, oh, you're anti-DeSantis. I said, I'm not anti-DeSantis. I've said he's America's greatest governor. But let me ask you, Dave.
Is there anything? What would you say would be your biggest?
My biggest complaint is the last 6 months he's allowing consultants and Chamber of Commerce folks to run his campaign. He doesn't sound like the Ron DeSantis of last year. I'll just be very honest.
So we can talk about the campaign specifically, but give me a specific example of what that means.
The Ukraine language, right? So the Ukraine language, he was kind of dilly-dallying and flip-flopping on that. At first, he was great. His instinct was territorial dispute. Then he's talking about, you know, more weapons for Zelensky and all that. But honestly, it's also just kind of a vibe and a tone, Dave, where, you know, the base, for example, I'll give you another example, his mishandling of the Trump indictment. I said that Ron DeSantis should have went down to Miami, done a press conference, showed that, hey, this is my state. Hey, Vivek Ramaswamy did it. He ascended in the polls, and now Vivek and DeSantis are tied.
Vivek is working with Trump, and everyone knows that.
Hold on a second, but you're not going to win the primary unless you understand Trump has a built-in 50 to 60%.
No, but hold on. But if you listen to what DeSantis's words were related to the indictment, he said he would not, on the first indictment, he said he would not extradite him. And he's gone out of his way saying he's going to destroy the very agencies. I think has been more
that's
hardcore
fair.
In
no,
terms of
no, his policy's been
ahead.
Fine. But let me tell you how the base heard it, Dave. The base heard this. And it might not even be fair. I'm just telling you how the base heard it, right? Because remember, the base is like a lover scorned. They hear one thing from a politician like Paul Ryan or Boehner and Lindsey Graham, so they have a heightened sense of distrust, and they love Trump, and that's not going to change. They heard Ron DeSantis go out of his way the first time to say, well, I don't know really what goes into payoffs to, Playboy.
Charlie, come on.
I'm not even saying that's fair.
That was just a joke, and Trump makes silly jokes and sex jokes about everything like that.
The laws of Trump don't apply to everyone else, Dave. You know that. We're in this. It's a different primary, right? The laws, the guy is levitates. He's a once in a 200 year, you know, he says, I'm going to shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and he goes up in the polls. He attacks Kayleigh McEnany.
I agree. He's not a politician at this point. He's something beyond a politician, which I also think there's a certain demagoguery that's somewhat dangerous related to that. But by the way, again, I voted for Trump and I like Trump.
No, I know you did.
For the most part. Yeah.
No, and I just, so that was another thing. And then finally, I know that I'm a little biased very biased. When Ron DeSantis didn't show up at our event, that bothered me, right? It wasn't some sort of gotcha or trap. I think he would have done very well. I don't think he would have gotten booed or anything. But here's what I would like to see out of DeSantis. You know, when we go to a college campus, you say, hey, if you disagree, go to the front of the line. I want to see somebody get in the arena and say, hey, I'm willing to throw out the script. I'm willing to just take any question. I'm willing to kind of just fight. It's more kind of total and attitudinal. Dave, your reaction?
Sure. So look, if in essence, and we'll pick it up after the break, if in essence your point is, oh, I agree with virtually all of the policies and nobody has accomplished more than this guy and done everything I want to do, but there's a little bit of a marketing issue here. All right, I'll go with you on that. And I think that can be dealt with, but we'll pick it up on the other side.
Well, look, I will say this, the base is very smart and they're constantly looking in a way of who's going to betray me next. This is the advice I gave to DeSantis privately and publicly. And right now, the Rubicon has been crossed where they think DeSantis is going to betray him. I'm not even saying that's fair, but I'm not saying it's fair.
Charlie,
it's honest.
I mean, Trump has done far more to betray the truth and in a certain way, the respect of the base every time he lies about DeSantis, right?
So
when he lies about COVID and Florida, who was the best governor for COVID in Florida, COVID in the country?
DeSantis, 100%. But this is
who has done more work and more praise for Paul Ryan? Is it Ron DeSantis or Donald Trump?
For Paul Ryan, I can't speak either way. But at the same time, we could talk about again after the break.
You can't speak either way. I mean, I can show you plenty of videos of Trump talking about how much he loves Paul Ryan.
But Dave, I'm going to tell you this line of what you're getting at is not persuasive to the base, and I'll explain why after the break.
Because, well, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not trying to persuade anybody. I'm just telling you what the truth
is. Okay, but no, lecturing the base is not how you win a primary. And that's what you're doing is why he's losing, because they want to hear not necessarily the little things Trump got wrong. They want to hear a vibe of a fighter that's going to go crush the Uniparty in D.C. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. Every day we hear about another familiar brand selling out their customers and going woke. Americans are sick and tired of having left-wing propaganda jammed into every product they consume. Woke mobile companies are no different. For years, they've been dumping millions into liberal causes, and we had to take it because you need a cell phone and probably thought there was no alternative. I've got news for you. There is, and I want you to make the switch today. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offering dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area minus the left-wing propaganda. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending a message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching very easy. Keep your phone, keep your number too. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code CHARLIE. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. Get the same dependable service and take a stand for your values. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. Continue with us is a good friend of mine, Dave Rubin. We've done a lot of stuff together throughout the years, the Rubin Report. Dave, I did not mean to cut you off. Please finish the argument.
Yeah, no, it's all good. And Charlie, really, like, this is, we would do this over drinks. I want people to understand that. Like, there is something that transcends politics here. Well, let me ask you something, because one thing that I've been confused, sort of going off what you said right before the break, was that he's sort of, that DeSantis has, like, handed this off to that class of people or something. Is it your position that Ron DeSantis has anything to do with Karl Rove or Paul Ryan?
Oh, no.
Donald Trump says that repeatedly, and that's what all the tweet people say.
But DeSantis, I'll be honest, he's acting like he does.
I'm just asking you your opinion.
He's acting like, he might as well, because he's acting and talking like Karl Rove is running his campaign.
No. Hold on. Do you have any evidence or any reason to believe that Karl Rove or Paul Ryan have anything to do with Ron DeSantis?
No, except for the fact that Fox has been very favorable to DeSantis and Paul Ryan sits on the board, but that seems like a reach. And so what I'm not going to do, Dave, is I'm not going to go through every Truth Social and go through all that with, you know, Trump saying this and all that.
Because that's blood sport of politics.
But we don't have
to go through all of that, but it is important, I think, to some degree, because I agree with what you're saying about the base in their passion for Donald Trump and why it's important and shouldn't be ignored. And by the way, when I'm frustrated with some of the surrogates, let's say, or some of Trump's behavior lying about Florida and COVID, that sort of thing, that's a direct frustration. It's not a frustration with the people that support him. But for example, I mean, I have the exact quote right here from DeSantis about a month ago. I actually did a little research before I joined you today. This is a direct quote from DeSantis. "I have not spoken to Paul Ryan since I was elected governor, and I've met Karl Rove once." I really think it's important that your viewers who are the base understand that, because if you listen to any of the surrogates and Donald Trump himself, they're implying that he's somehow working with these people and that they are in charge of his campaign and everything else. And it's simply not true.
Okay.
And I think that's important. That's important to note.
But no, that's fair. I'm glad we cleared that up. DeSantis has gotten favorable treatment on Fox and Paul Ryan as a board member there. But let me put that aside. Let me just say, though, the type of campaign.
Trump was on with Brett Baer, 2 weeks ago?
Fair enough. I would say, though, that was a mostly peaceful interview, as we would say. But let me just put it with the type of campaign I want DeSantis to run is like Vivek, which is there needs to be a sign of respect towards Trump that I don't feel with this from DeSantis. I'll be very honest. DeSantis is a governor thanks to Donald Trump. That primary was not going well for him, right? So he's challenging the alpha beast, right? He's challenging the guy that did kind of anoint him to win the primary and eventually the general. Vivek is smart. Vivek is reading the room that these indictments, the amount of criminalization of Trump really increases people's fervor of the injustice towards him. So DeSantis has a choice. Do you run kind of a policy technocratic campaign, which is what he's running, and I don't think it's going very well? Or do you read the room and you realize the base has an attachment to Trump and I'm going to respect that? It seems as if it's in some kind of murky middle. I guess my question is, Dave, how do you think the campaign is going?
Right. Well, I would say that, first off, just quickly on the Vivek thing, because I don't want to spend too much time on that. I mean, it's fairly obvious to anyone paying attention that Trump and Vivek are coordinating, right? Vivek is doing all endless attacks on DeSantis, no attacks on Trump. And all of the Trump surrogates online, you know who they are. They're always pumping up Vivek because Vivek's going after DeSantis. Also, if I was to believe any of the polls, and national polls, by the way, mean absolutely nothing. we're also 7 months away from the first primary. I mean, really think about that. Like, the first primary isn't until January of next year, and everyone's going crazy as if, oh my God, on any given day, like, the whole world is going to spin out of control. You would never, if you were so confident of your lead, you would never spend all day attacking the number two guy. So that's just a little insider political jockeying. However, I will agree with you that in terms of some of the strategy of the rollout, they probably should have been more aggressive. I do see that changing. Look, DeSantis just went on Russell Brand last week. He just went on CNN for the first time last week. I think he's doing Megyn Kelly this week, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And she's been very, very critical of him. Russell's a lefty. I mean, he certainly is, you know, no one that you would call a traditional conservative by any stretch. I would love to see him go on The View, sit directly with those women and call out their endless lies about Florida. You know, Anna Navarro, who lives in Miami, who rails against Florida every day. He should sit right next to her and call her out. So if you want, if your question is really, do you want to take some of the anger that the base has because of the way Trump being treated, and he's being treated horribly, yeah, and I completely agree with that.
It's righteous.
I agree. There's probably some way to do that. But I would also say, to some extent, if you just want to view this, if you just want to view this in the political lens, maybe this is why Trump should stop lying about DeSantis every which way. And you know he is. Everything he says about DeSantis is a lie.
Well,
everything
look, he says Dave, about Florida. I'll be honest. It's also a lie when DeSantis goes after Trump and says he was pro Fauci and all that. That's just not true.
Gave Fauci an award on the way out.
We're out of time. Dave Rubin, thanks so much. All right. You've probably heard me. It's actually now 25 pounds that I have lost. And I'm sure some of you say, oh, Charlie, I've tried everything. That was me. You know, my first Zoom call with my PhD weight loss, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, come on, guys. All right, I've heard this whole thing before. And boy, was I wrong. They know what they're doing, my PhD weight loss. Look, this is 100% legit. And people say, well, Charlie, you've lost so much weight. And I say, yeah, my PhD weight loss, hello. But look, they have a different approach. And it's Dr. Ashley Lucas. She's great. I text with her. She does a really, really good job. 25 pounds, I'll tell you. And I have more energy and I'm healthier than ever before. Here's why. The program rids your body of the inflammation that is causing so many health problems. If you look around today, America is the fattest it has ever been. Our families, friends, and neighbors are dying of diabetes, heart disease, and Alzheimer's, now called T3 diabetes. PhD has helped so many people who want to have a good, active life, play with their grandkids, travel, hike to a waterfall, go for a bike ride, but their weight was holding them hostage. They don't want any of you on experimental drugs for your brain degeneration from Alzheimer's or homebound with an oxygen tank for heart failure. My PhD weight loss knows that losing weight is the best thing for overall health. We are way too fat as a society. And here's the thing. If you're listening to this and you say, boy, I'm a little overweight, it's perfectly fine. Do something about it. Use your free will, your agency. Say, you know what? I'm just not where I want to be. This is an empowerment tool for you. All of these things can be prevented. You look at heart disease, what they now call diabesity. By the way, there's a great new book by Dr. Peter Attia about longevity. You want to live long? Lose weight. Look, Dr. Ashley Lucas, she is the master of this, and she is the genius behind my PhD weight loss. So you can call them today at 864-644-1900. That is 864-644-1900. By the way, this is not like a sign up and you're automatically going to lose weight. You got to do some work. You got to apply yourself. It's not a too good to be true thing. But if you have motivation, they will channel that motivation towards a very positive, measurable, and real outcome. Find them online at myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Charlie Kirk sent you. That is myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, physician and dietitian developed, individually delivered. Again, I lost 25 pounds and I feel great. If you think you've tried everything, you're wrong until you say you've tried my PhD weight loss. They map you as a whole person. It's not like, hey, just read this book. No. It's a deep dive. It's personalized. It's going to get results for you. MyPhDWeightLoss.com. Okay, really important discussion that we're going to have here. It's a sensitive topic, and there's some pending legal challenges around it. So we sent out this tweet, and it's gone totally viral. So joining us now is Prisha Mosley, who is a detransitioner, and attorney Josh Payne, who is the attorney for Prisha. And I sent out this tweet. Both of you, by the way, welcome to the program. I said this tweet up. Prisha Mosley is a 25-year-old North Carolina woman who is suing the doctors who aided her sex change. According to Prisha, these doctors approved cross-sex hormones and a double mastectomy after consultation as brief as 2 minutes. They also told her taking testosterone shots would allow her to, quote, grow a penis. In reality, Prisha was just a 15-year-old battling depression, anxiety, anorexia. Her parents fought against her transition, but were steamrolled by enablers posing as medical professionals. Prisha and Josh, welcome to the program. I understand there's some legal sensitivities around all this. And so, Prisha, tell us in your own words your story and why you're pursuing a lawsuit.
So my story is that I was a very troubled teenage girl. I had a very sudden, hard and strong puberty. And basically, my body grew faster than my brain. I started receiving attention from boys and men who just wanted to touch me. And then at 14, I actually experienced a sexual assault, which led to a miscarriage and totally divorced me from womanhood. And then at 15, I was online in the pro-Anna community. And that's a self-harm community where people have anorexia and enable each other. And transgender adults came into the community and started telling us that we couldn't eat because we were born in the wrong body and we were boys. And eventually, you know, after hearing an onslaught of this for so long and proof, you know, I ended up believing it, and I was desperate for a cure. I was suicidal and had attempted, and I just wanted to feel better. So I eventually just believed it. I came out to my parents, and I was met by medical professionals who said the same exact thing. You know, you have a disease, you were born in the wrong body, you know, you, and so on and so forth. And I'm bringing a legal case because I've come to realize that I am not a boy. I wasn't born in the wrong body. I was mentally ill. I needed therapy. I needed someone to care for me. Kindness, love. I didn't need medicalization, but that's what happened.
It's a very powerful and, by the way, courageous testimony that you have. Josh, you're the attorney for Prisha. Josh, can you fill us in on who Prisha is suing and what is the complaint basically detailed?
That's right, Charlie. As we allege in the complaint, Prisha is seeking justice because she feels that she was deceived and misled into a medicalized gender transition, being placed on what they call cross-sex hormone therapy, which in actuality is injecting large amounts of testosterone, the male hormone, into her female body, and also having her healthy breasts removed by a plastic surgeon at age 18 after she was put on the testosterone at age 17. And Prisha is suing the doctors and the counselors who were involved in leading her down this path. And the tragedy of it is that it happened and Prisha was left with her mental health issues unresolved, contrary to the promises that were made that these medical interventions would, in fact, cure her mental health problems and issues, and that they were a treatment for those mental health issues. But as alleged in the complaint, that did not happen. Prisha was left with her mental health still untreated and unresolved, and with additional significant mental and emotional injuries, and of course the physical injuries that were brought about by her being on testosterone for years and without her body parts.
So I just need to editorialize for a second. There are thousands, if not tens of thousands, of other young people that are now walking into the same circumstances that Prisha was 9 years ago. So Prisha, can you, and to the best of your ability, and obviously feel free to answer this how you see fit, given the pending lawsuit, Can you walk through some of the promises that were made to you by medical professionals as when you started to take testosterone or go through some of these mutilation procedures?
I was promised male puberty and instead I got menopause. I was promised the idea of a normal functioning male body because I had a male brain, and also aligning them would cure all of my mental health problems, because the idea was that everything was caused by having a brain and body misalignment. I was promised that I would grow a penis when I went to my pediatric endocrinologist and complained of pain down there, you know, due to the injections. She was like, yeah, that's male puberty. You're growing a penis.
And so this was 9 years ago when you started this process. At what point did you start to feel regret or questioning what the medical professionals were telling you?
It took a very long time to get out of the delusion, you know, and also get out of denial even once I began to feel that, because, you know, it's such an investment to make and it's such a big loss if you accept that it was for nothing. But I made my video where I came out last fall. I believe it was in October, and that's really when things began to turn around for me. But to be honest, as I'm working through things and my mental health, I'm still uncovering memories, and my health continues to change and deteriorate, and it's not going well.
Can you add, so 9 years later, you have ongoing health issues. So let me ask Josh, what are the potential damages that you are asking for here in the public complaint?
Yes, as we allege in the complaint, Risha suffered physical harm, mental and emotional harm, and she's seeking, as you say, the legal term is monetary damages, to make her whole and to try to piece her life back together in a way that, you know, involves some kind of thriving and flourishing, even though Risha realizes she can't go back and have, you know, her young, youthful, healthy body back. She can't have those years back. She can't have her breasts back. All of that is gone. And she is seeking damages from these defendants, but it's about holding them accountable.
Yes.
And trying to prevent this tragedy from happening to anyone else and sending that message.
These lawsuits are so important, and these mutilators need to be sued into the ninth circle of hell. Josh, let me ask you, what is the precedent here? I'm guessing these kind of lawsuits are somewhat new now that we have this wave of once adolescents, now adults, that are having serious regret. Is there case law that is a precedent here, decisions, settlements, or are you guys kind of on the frontier, especially in the state of North Carolina, with this complaint?
As far as we know, this is the first case of its kind in North Carolina, and there are only a few of these cases nationwide. And our firm, Campbell Miller Payne, was founded this year to serve individuals like Prisha who believe they have been harmed. And we have other cases in the works, including a case that was filed on Friday in Texas. So people are coming forward like Prisha. They are explaining that what happened to them is not okay, that it involved deception, and that they were misled into a medicalized path. And they are seeking justice to hold their healthcare providers accountable and to try to prevent this tragedy from happening to anyone else. So the cases are new, but of course we're drawing on a familiar legal claim in terms of deception and medical malpractice.
And for parents out there, I hope this is just a warning for you. This is not an isolated incident. We do not know to the extent, but rough estimations are that tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of young kids are engaging in this form of medical mutilation. in some way, shape, or form. It's big business and it's sick. We will continue in just a second with this extraordinary story, Prisha Mosley and Josh Payne. And I want to just read more of the tweet that I sent out. One of Prisha's counselors, Dr. Martha Perry, even met in her dietitian's office to keep the meeting secret from her parents. Now, 9 years later, Prisha has been physically mutilated with a deep masculine voice, facial hair, damaged vagina, pain in her neck and shoulders, and missing breasts. She will most likely never be able to have children. Prisha's story should never have happened. Every state in the country should ban these child mutilating procedures, but those bans might be thrown out by certain judges, so we need a backup plan. Every red state should also pass laws making it easier for patients to sue these quote-unquote doctors who tore up their bodies and exploited their teenage vulnerability to turn a profit. We must end childhood mutilation in America. I'll just say this. For years, I was lectured by neoconservatives that female genital mutilation in the Middle East is wrong, only for us to bring it here and call it trans-affirming therapy. Prisha, I want to ask, I know that you were estranged from your parents for 7 years, but you're now reconciling with them. What are your advice for parents that might be currently be pressured for their children to take these treatments or therapies?
So this is where I teach the message of validation versus affirmation. You need to validate your child. So don't tell them, you know, no, you don't feel like a boy at all, you know, even though it's, you know, real versus true. So, you know, they might really feel like they're a boy and their distress is real. Gender dysphoria is real, but the cure is not cutting off your body parts. So validate them, say, I'm sure you feel that way. I'm sure you're suffering and I'm sure you're in pain. Let's correct that. Let's help you and let's love you. Because if you don't give them validation and you shut them down completely, there are arms open and waiting to give them affirmation. And affirmation says not only, yes, you are experiencing that, but all of your thoughts are true. They are real and true. You are a boy and you are born in the wrong body and messed up and need to be medicalized.
So part that it's really powerful. You were given testosterone. Can you just tell us what that was like? According to your complaint, your doctors didn't tell you what would happen when you went on testosterone. What ended up happening when you started to take an equivalent of TRT therapy?
So the first change was actually to my genitals. There was increased sensitivity that was incredibly painful and growth that is just horrible. It's impossible to touch. It even affects the clothes I have to wear. And following that was the atrophy to the rest of the vagina. That makes it very difficult to penetrate. And if there is penetration, that often results in tearing and bleeding. There are also changes to my voice. The way my voice sounds right now is a conscious decision and it is a strain. It hurts my throat. I can no longer sing. I'm in pain all of the time. My shoulders burn, my neck burns, my bones and joints ache. And I just have like lowered pain tolerance, it feels like. Pretty much, I feel like every part of my body has changed. Even the texture of my skin and hair is no longer me or mine.
Looking back when you were a teenager and you considered doing this, do you feel as if that your parents were involved in the decision-making process or were they somewhat shut out?
Absolutely not. I mean, I recall the appointment, the brief appointment with the gender therapist who gave me my letter of recommendation for testosterone. My father looked like he was in shock and my mother was just like weeping. And I found out recently that when they chased her out of the room, when she was crying, they said, it's time to be happy about a boy. They also asked them in front of me, would you rather have a dead daughter or a living son? My parents trusted doctors. That's normal. They were manipulated and blackmailed. I feel like their consent was stolen from them.
Prisha, I want to say you're a very brave person. And if there's anything we can do to help you in the lawsuit, we're 100% behind it. You are not alone. There will be tens of thousands of mutilated children that become adults that will look back on the harm that these people did to them. It's one of the number one stories in America, and Precia, we're 100% behind you. And thank you, Josh, for representing her so well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is not an isolated incident. Governor Asa Hutchinson, when he was governor of Arkansas, he said that was perfectly fine. He said that if you're in the tradition of Ronald Reagan, who are we to get in the way of doctors? Trust parents. There are tens of thousands, soon to be hundreds of thousands of children that will have irreversibly medically mutilated themselves under this idea of gender-affirming care. It's not some sort of fringe thing. The Association of Pediatrics endorsed this, the American Medical Association. We are seeing one of the great assaults on puberty and childhood development in the history of humanity. Will we do something about it? That is the question. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Lots of channels, nothing to watch, especially if you're searching for the truth. It's time to interrupt your regularly scheduled programs with something actually worth watching. Salem News Channel. Straightforward, unfiltered, with in-depth insight and analysis from the greatest collection of conservative minds, like Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Sebastian Gorka, and more. Find truth. Watch 24/7 on SNC.TV and on Local Now, Channel 525.